Welcome to Casey Coars, a celebration of words. Now, here's Casey's interview with George Palakanos.
Part one, which is Bad Chris, takes place in the Pine Ridge Youth Rehabilitation Facility. And George, what was it about Pine Ridge and the youth rehabilitation system that caught your interest in this character, in particular Christopher Flynn?
I had been going out to Oak Hill, which is the real place here in D.C. I was working with the boys, and I just started thinking, you know, you go into their cells and you see where they live in these little 6x9 rooms, and nothing but a cot in there and a scratchy blanket and an exposed commode sitting in the middle of the room, a dirty plexiglass window, and you start thinking, you know, what's it like for a kid to be in jail? And then beyond that, what's it like for the parents to see their son led away in shackles and chains, and how it tears a family up. So the first part of the book, Bad Chris, is about how this kid got there. And this kid is atypical in that he does come from a good home, a well-to-do part of Washington, but he keeps screwing up. Over and over again, he gets into trouble, and then there's one really bad night where the police arrest him, and the prosecutors can't help but give him a little time. You know, just because he's a white kid from the wealthy side of town, there's only one jail for the kids in D.C., so you're going to go wherever you're sent. So the boy gets sent out there, tears his folks up, and he goes out to this jail, and he starts making relationships out there with kids who are mostly from the other side of town, who haven't had the advantages that he's had and the start that he's had, you know, because often, in my opinion, what happens to a boy is often dictated by an accident of birth. It's where you're born, it's what kind of home you're born into, and so on. So a lot of things happen in there that forge these relationships and friendships, and there's also a violent incident in the jail and during his stay there. And then the book moves to later on in his life when he's in his 20s. He's come out, he's working for his dad, who has a carpet and floor business, and he's an installer. It's really all he's qualified to do. He doesn't have the aptitude that his father has for being a businessman or a salesman. And he's working with a friend of his from Pine Ridge, who he's brought along. And his father's actually tried to hire a bunch of these kids, and most of them didn't work out. Mm-hmm. There's one guy that has. And they find some money in a house underneath the floorboards. And they make a decision, and it's not the decision that you usually find in these kind of books. Invariably, they decide to take the money, and a lot of bad things happen. But
right.
These guys decide not to take the money. They do the right thing. But despite that, some bad things do happen. And it's from here on, it's how Chris and his friends kind of make their way. You know, the title of the book is The Way Home.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get back in the graces of your family,
mm-hmm,
and society when you've had all these awful things happen to you?
And I thought it was also an interesting look at the kind of the city within a city and the youth correctional facilities, how long-term friendships are made. And I really like the character, Ollie Carter, who comes out and tries to do well by the other guys. And, you know, we need people like him, you know, in the world, and guys like that usually come from a place like this and spend a lot of unsung heroes spend a lot of time trying to get guys to, you know, stay on the right side of the track when they get out.
Yeah, I mean, it's really based on some organizations that we have here that are almost without exception, they're run by people who have been in trouble earlier in their lives. They've come out, and instead of just taking a menial job or going back to the old life, they've decided to reach back and help the kids that are still in trouble, and they make that their life's work. And these are the heroes of our city.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And George, when I read about Washington D.C. through your eyes, I always enjoy the music, the musical references. But I felt with The Way Home this time, I got a little more of the geography of the city, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, this one is all over the city. It's in some of the rougher parts of town, like Anacostia, and it's also it's for the first time I've written extensively about what it's like to live in a nice part of town as well.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've been ignoring that for most of my career, and I thought, well, you know, I can write about that too. That's a that's a part of the fabric as well. And it's kind of nice that they interlap here. One of my favorite scenes in the book is Thomas Flynn, the father, has a yearly party, a barbecue for his employees, and they all come to his house in this nice part of town, and it's just a sort of a nice scene. He gives a speech. He's a little bit drunk,
mm-hmm.
but his son is very proud of him, as is his wife. And there's a lot of Hispanic characters in the book also, because they make up a lot of our workforce now, the blue-collar workforce here. And so, you know, I was just trying to stretch out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And part of the life that they learn in Pine Ridge is to... And I really like how Chris is conflicted with when he's pushed to a certain point. He knows without giving any of the plot away. He knows there come times when a man has to retaliate. And I really like the way you. It's really an intricate love story between Chris and his dad and his mom, and then he meets Kathleen and she changes him. And I thought that was kind of a cool way that you use Kathleen as a way to change Chris and to help him make good decisions.
Well, there's also this. When in the research of this book, I came across this this data that boys are wired differently at a certain point in their lives, and by that I mean neurologically. If you take a picture of their brain, which you do it with heat and color, there's two parts of the brain. The prefrontal cortex is for reasoning and conscience, or what I call recognizing the difference between right and wrong. And then the limbic system in a 16-year-old boy is dominant. The prefrontal cortex is smaller because it develops more slowly. So if you take the picture of a brain of that same man when he's in his 20s, the two areas, reasoning and emotion, are now equally represented, if you're doing it mm-hmm. by color. And so, in effect, people used to say, well, that kid grew up or that kid matured, but it's something in the brain where reasoning catches up with emotion eventually, and kids change. They become men. So there's a scientific reason for why some boys jump the tracks in their teens.
Sure.
And that old thing about, well, my son went to college and he came back and he was amazed at how smart his parents had gotten.
Right. Right.
Well,
right.
There's a reason for that.
Right. Right, exactly, exactly. And then you have some guys like the character Lawrence, who he kind of jumped the track, and he was unfortunately kind of probably more at home inside Pine Ridge or inside an institution than he was outside of it. And it seems like some of these guys at a certain time in their life just say, this is what my life is.
There are some people that are so damaged by their upbringing that they never recover. And those are the ones that don't make it. And he, I look at him as a tragic figure. I mean, he is for most of the book, he never hurts anybody. He's just a guy who has a lot of bluster and bravado. And the boys sort of keep him at arm's length, and that further pushes him out of the pack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad what happens to him later in the book.
Mm-hmm. And I think anyone who is fathers and sons will really, really enjoy the conversations between Chris and his dad, because anybody who has grown up, with a father can relate to that frustration and anger of. And Christopher Flint and Tom Flint does change as the book progresses. He does become more accepting of Christopher, and there's some really nice scenes when they both are very stubborn men, but when they are able to compromise, they move together, which is nice to see.
Yeah, I couldn't have written this book 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the father of three, and I have my oldest son is getting ready to graduate high school, and so I've been a father now for 18 years, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been able to do this a while back, but I think now I know enough to write this kind of book, and I drew as much from. The character of the father isn't strictly autobiographical. I drew as much from trying to remember when I was a teenager how I felt mm-hmm. as I did from feeling this as a father, and to try and understand both of these guys was the challenge. And, you know, there's a lot of emotion in the book. It's probably the most emotional book I've written.
Mm-hmm. George, what is it now that the book is done and it's going to be published here shortly? What is it that you're happiest about with The Way Home when you compare it to Drama City and some of the other with the other DC novels that you've written? What do you like most about this one?
I think so far is that I've gotten a few letters from people who have read the book, and it was obvious that I reached them on a different kind of level than I have in some of my previous books. And that's what I'm trying to do is reach people on a gut level. And the other thing that I'm sort of pleased with is that I proved to myself that I can write something that's got a little bit different elements to it. I still deliver the crime fiction goods, if you will, in parts of the novel, but the novel's really a story about a family, and hopefully I pulled it off.
Yeah, you did. George, did your experience writing for The Wire or any of the screenwriting you've done, did that improve your writing for The Way Home, do you think? Did it make you think in a more cinematic manner?
Yeah, starting with Drama City, my last few books, The Night Gardener, the turnaround, mm-hmm. this book here. I think they are more stripped to the bone in the sense that I've cut the fat, which is what you have to do when you're writing screenplays.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, being with those guys that I worked with on The Wire, David Simon, Ed Burns, Richard Price, Lehane, and being in a room with those guys for various times for 5 years made me a better writer. Just sitting around and hashing it out. You know, I never attended a writing school. I never took a writing class. That was, in a way, my writing class that I never got to take when I was younger. And I do think that they made me better. And we're all very competitive guys too. So I wanted to be better. You know, when I wrote those Wire scripts, I wanted them to be the best scripts of that season. Mm-hmm. I wanted to kick the ass of those other guys.
Yeah, I hear you. And you guys, what a series that was. And I'm really have high hopes for Simon's new story on New Orleans. I hope that works out well.
Well, I'm working on that too. So,
hopefully. Oh, are you?
Yeah. I just turned in a script for the first season, and hopefully I'm going to write another script later this year.
So. Oh, well, good. Well, I met David at the Tennessee Williams Festival down in New Orleans a couple weekends ago.
Oh yeah,
and he talked about that new project. They were filming it down there, so I'm glad to hear you're involved in that. It sounds like it could be a lot of fun.
We've got good writers on it: Tom Piazza, Eric Overmeyer, Lois Ellie. You know, we're very good, and you know, local New Orleans people who really know the city. And I have high hopes for it as well.
Good, good. Well, George, before I let you go here, you're getting ready to go out on the road, and I was looking, and I noticed that you're doing some dates with Michael Conley once his book comes out in late May. How did that come about?
Mike and I are old friends. We sort of started out together, and we've done this before. It can get kind of lonely out there.
Yes.
It's nice to have a friend, and sometimes neither Mike nor I are that crazy about hanging out in airports and stuff, so we'll rent a car and we'll drive. We'll take like a six-hour drive between cities, and I'm a pretty quiet person, and so is he, and we're comfortable with that silence.
Yeah.
So we'll be cruising, you know, between Seattle and Portland or something like that, not say a word, and be perfectly comfortable with it.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is great. Well, the timing's going to be good because I'm going to post your interview, and then Mike's book comes out like 2 weeks later, and he'll be up after that, so I'll probably run him at the same time.
Yep, he's written another good book. I just finished it.
Yeah. Well, George, I appreciate the time. And congratulations on The Way Home. I really enjoyed it tremendously. And
I appreciate it, man.
And good luck with the HBO. We'll keep posted on that, and we will catch up with you down the road on the next one.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Take care, George.